Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Umat has the weekend off. And we have Cheryl on the line. She was talking about her husband and now focusing on her 20-year-old son.
Well, and since dad and son seem to have similar presentations, then you wonder how much of this is indeed a genetic transfer, intergenerational here. As I started to say before, Samira and I are actually looking at expanding our range of treatment from the 50 and up crowd to providing services to all those young coding folks that are stuck in cubicles, sucking photons out of their computer screens 10 hours a day and with very little physical activity. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, an outside percentage of coders are somewhere on the Asperger syndrome on the scale. These young people tend to do far better with computers and mathematics than they do with human beings.
Isn't that wild? Yes.
Yeah. So, the last evaluation I saw was saying that about 40% of professional coders are somewhere on that autism scale.
Yes. I've got three nephews that are autistic, and the oldest two are coding.
Yeah.
They're learning to code.
Yeah.
Code well. Wow.
Because they do better with machines than they do with people.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. And for the rest of the audience that doesn't understand one of the terms that she was using, the dysthymia.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's kind of an archaic psychiatric term. We don't use it too much anymore, but it's basically a personality group that tends to be low energy, tired, emotionally tired, if not physically, easily depressed, easily discouraged, kind of Eeyore.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, woe is me, sort of. Sort of philosophy of life.
The glass is always half empty. Or not even.
Half empty and who put lipstick on it?
That's right.
Yeah, it was kind of yucky. So clearly, the young man has got some issues that hopefully could be addressed, and let me complicate that picture a little more for you, just for interest. For some reason, and we don't really know why. There's a lot of theories and a lot of guessing, but we don't really know a firm answer. Young men in their late 20s to mid-30s today are running anabolic hormone loads that we would have seen in their grandfathers back in the 1960s.
Wow.
Anabolic hormone load, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, pregnenolone, these hormone levels have been going down decade by decade. And young men in America today are running the levels that their grandfathers ran in the 1950s and 60s.
Is that why we're seeing a lot of hair loss in younger
men? We're seeing hair loss in young men, but we're also just seeing sedentary, low active lifestyles. They want to just sit. They don't want to get up and do things. And there's a lot of discouragement and depression and why bother? Mm. You know, the life is going to be mean to me, and the world is going to end because of the climate change in the next X number of years, however many that happens to be this week.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I mean, 20 some years ago, we were told 10 years we'd all be dead. And right now, Florida is supposed to be under 6 feet of water, but it's not. But yes, that pessimistic, low optimism, low aggressiveness, kind of lifestyle and philosophy is probably related to the multi-generational declines in anabolic hormone load we're seeing in males. You know, young men are having less and less sex than they used to. You know, they are not the lusty, libido-driven adolescents of my youthful memories. So things are changing, and not necessarily for the better. And so this is a population that I think needs a customized program built just for them. And that's what Samara and I are looking at right now. In your son, one of the things I'd be very interested in doing, and how practical this is will depend in part on how good his health insurance is, but I'd love to send him over to CDI or somebody and get a MRI, a very high resolution, a 3T resolution MRI of his brain. Just to see what his hippocampus and amygdala are like, too. You know, to see what he did inherit from daddy. That would be, it would give us real information in treating both generations. So.
Yeah, that I've tried to get Children's Hospital to do an MRI, but there was, my son is listening in, so I dragged him up from downstairs, and so I appreciate all the comments that you're making.
Okay.
And so our health insurance is something that we could handle this. So okay. What else? Recommendations? And can I bring him in for that first test that you do? Not the initial one, but the one after that.
Yeah, we can do that. I have not as a policy treated young people much in the past, although I've got probably 30 or 40, maybe 50 men and women in their late 20s and early 30s. You know, there are 50-year-olds going on 25 and 25-year-olds going on 50 for some reason in this world. We're all built by the same general plan, but the good Lord put a fair bit of variability in there. And I think the youngest person we ever treated was 16, and we did that as a favor to her grandparents, who were our patients. This was a young lady who only weighed like 68 or 70 pounds or something. She was anorectic, and everybody had kind of given up on her. And the grandparents came to us and said, look, our granddaughter is going to die if somebody doesn't help her. And the doctors have all given up. And I had at that time a delightful physician who was a grandmother herself. And she just begged me to please let her take on the case. And she took it on as a special project. And we actually got the kid's weight up into the low 90s and started her periods again. And she was perking up when she left. So we have on occasion, as favors to current patients, taking on the second and third generation when they've got a problem we think we might be able to help with. So, yeah, I tell you what, we'll at least do the initial evaluation on your son. And maybe chat about him in our Tuesday rounds. We have every Tuesday at noon, all of the doctors in the clinic get together on a Teams meeting, a video chat. So we've all got access to the medical records, and the docs can bring up their tougher patients, and then we can all kibitz and have everybody put in their two cents about where we think this person's treatment ought to go. And so it sounds right. like you sounds like your son might be a perfect case study to get all the doctors to chime in on and see what we might be able to offer him.
Well, thank you very much. I need to make sure that he's okay.
Of course. Yes, it's his body and his life, and he's got the right to be in charge of it.
Right. So
much as we love our children, we don't own them.
Right. So I'm happy that he was able to hear your words, and so I will talk to him and see if he will let me schedule him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good, my dear. Thank you for the call, Cheryl.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
11 after 11, I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here. We're taking a lot of phone calls, and we're going to go to Tacoma right now. Brian, Terry, we're going to get to you in just a bit. Stay on the line right now. Ron in Tacoma. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Hi. Hi there.
Hello. How can we help you, sir?
I have a question, doctor. I'm recovering from Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. It's been 7 months, and I am making recovery. I just had another test recently, and making progress. My question is, I have severe dry mouth. I just wondered if you happen to know any treatments for that or any other kind of drugs. The only thing I take for that is thylacoxine.
Okay.
And the other question I'm going to have is, I want to join longevity, but should I wait, a few more months until I'm better to do that, or would it be worthwhile to do it now?
Okay. Well, let's start with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, because because I doubt that if 1/100th of 1% of the population listening to us has any idea what it is we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a type of shingles.
Ooh.
Okay. It's where the facial nerve near the ear is the one that gets inflamed. And it often involves the eye and half the one side of the nose. It's that whole upper half of the face gets involved. Yeah. Can be
That's
quite
exactly
painful.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can be quite painful and, usually resolves. Mm-hmm. But if it's not caught early and if they don't put the people on the antiviral medications like acyclovir or famciclovir, if they don't get put on it early enough, the pain can last for months to years.
Oh, wow.
And occasionally is even permanent.
Wow. And close to the eyes and
yes,
ears.
Yes. It starts right in front of the ear and then travels all the way up that upper half of the face, around the eye and to half the nose. And I don't know why. When people get a shingles outbreak, the standard seems to be to give them a week's worth of medication. And I have found a week to not be nearly enough. I start them on the famciclovir or the acyclovir, and I keep them on it until they're totally pain-free.
Oh, okay.
Even if they have to take it every day for 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
But they tend to resolve a lot faster. And I've never had anybody who got that kind of aggressive treatment have permanent pain. I have seen some people who have had pain that lasted 10 years.
Oh, wow.
From shingles. So to avoid that, I get very aggressive with the antiviral medications when in those cases I've seen.
Oh.
But
would the shingles vaccine help that if somebody has already had
vaccine,
outbreaks?
Well, of course, the shingles vaccine is why we want all us older folks to have it so that doesn't happen to
yes.
them.
Yes. But would it help if someone's already had outbreaks or make it milder?
We don't really know for sure. We don't have proof.
Okay.
But my philosophy is once it resolves, I'd go get my shingle shot anyway.
And try it. Okay.
You know, if it protects you, it protects you. If it doesn't, well,
you're not any.
You had one extra
off.
Shot. Yeah. So,
okay.
Okay. So anyway, your question was not so much the Ramsey-Hunt. It was the when should you come to the patient or when should you come and become a patient? Is that right?
That's one of them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we're going to have to take a break right here.
Oh, okay.
But Ron, you stay right there on the line. Doctor will answer your question in just a moment. We will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Ron, you stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine, Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon on a Saturday morning here in our first Saturday morning in October, talking with Ron.
Yes, with Ron. Although I'm going to comment on the song first. As I
often. Oh, yes. You picked some of the music. I
picked
love it.
This music. But I picked this song because it's counterculture. Mm. Usually when a relationship breaks up, once a woman says she's gone, she's gone. Women almost never go back.
That's right.
You know, it's the men who will go back.
Yeah, they'll say, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
I'm in a
men will go away, and then they get alone for a while, and they say, damn, what did I do? And they try to go back. Women don't do that.
Nope.
It's rare. So this song about a woman who is, you know, basically kissed off her lover and then says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You know,
that's kind of rare.
Me. That's rare. It is. Yeah,
wow.
Almost never happens. So.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Anyway, just one of those
just a side
cultural
note.
Observations from Dr. Mixon's lexicon of life.
There you go. Anyway. And you've got a very, very full lexicon of lots of life stories.
I've got lots of life stories. Mm-hmm. Most of them not G-rated for the radio.
That's,
but that's
right,
a whole different issue. Those, however, often are my favorites.
How is that so true? All right.
Anyway.
Let's talk about dry mouth and...
Acyclovir, valacyclovir, or famcyclovir. Those are the three drugs that we use for treating this problem.
Okay. And what was your last question, Ron?
I was asking about joining longevity. Now, I have exactly what the doctor described, and I did want to mention, since 7 months, my pain is almost gone. I have no pain anymore. But and I'm making good progress. But I do have a paralysis in the throat, and now I'm working on, and I want a feeding tube, but the swallowing is starting to come. So when can I join longevity? I can't take pills yet.
Yeah. Essentially, anytime you want. I mean, obviously, if you can't swallow pills, things can be blended.
Yes.
You know, so
that's what we do now.
Yeah, you just throw them in the blender with your, you know, yogurt or whatever you got in there, and whip it up, and they work just fine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry too much about that. If you want to come to longevity, we'll make accommodations for you as we need to.
Okay. So the drugs that you mentioned, that's your recommendation for the dry mouth?
Well, actually, that's for the virus. That's for the shingles,
That
chickenpox virus. And then, you know, as the virus stops replicating and your nerves have a chance to recover. But what I'm thinking of is what we really need to do with you, we need to get your swallowing back and so on. We really need to help your body recover from the nerve damage as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where the emphasis would need to be. And again, if you come to longevity, I have no idea who your doctor is going to be. You know, we've got six different physicians or seven different physicians. But that would be my personal emphasis, would be to once more, senescent cell therapies, rapamycin fairly early in the program, get your testosterone load up and your anabolic load up so you start making some muscle, get some exercise, because working muscle is where brain-derived neurotropic factors are produced that actually cause nerves to grow and heal and repair. It's kind of funny that the name brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that's the hormone that makes nerves grow. And you would think brain-derived would come from brain, but it doesn't. It's just that when they discovered the hormone, the peptide, it was found in brain. So they called it brain-derived. That's where they discovered it. But it's actually made in muscle, and it's working muscle. So the more muscle you've got and the more intensely that muscle works, the more nerve healing repairing hormones you produce.
Okay.
Okay. So okay.
I got to do more exercise then.
Yeah. Well, not just exercise. We need to change your hormone balance so that when you do your exercise, you make muscle. Okay. At your age, your ability to make muscle is seriously impaired because your body doesn't have the tools it needs to do it anymore. So we'll give you back the tools. Then you do the exercise. That'll make the muscle that can produce the brain-derived neurotrophic factors that in turn can help your nerves to heal and repair.
That sounds good. Good.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yep.
Well, the dry mouth, as I said, is because of this paralysis in my throat.
Yes.
It is severe, and I have to take this pilocarpine every 4 hours to survive. And I think the side effects of this pilocarpine is detrimental, and I'm stuck. Nobody's come up with anything else to take.
Well, and that pilocarpine's been around a long, long time. We had it back when I was a medical student in the 1970s. So yes, it's is not a new drug by any stretch of the imagination. But you're right; it does have significant adverse effects to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but
all right, I will call your office and get set up.
Okay. You take care, sir. Bye bye.
Thank you for your call, Ron. All right.
You bet. Thanks.
We are going to take a little trip over to Gig Harbor, and we have Brian on the line. Good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Brian.
Good morning, guys. Beautiful day over here.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I'll bet it is. See, we're sitting here in a studio with no windows, with corrugated rubber on all
four walls. Lots of soundproofing.
So that there's no echoes in here for the microphones.
That's right. But we have good imaginations.
I think they call that a padded room.
A padded cell.
A padded cell, actually.
That's why we leave the door open, they won't lock us in.
Well, one of my next expansion projects is for this coming spring or summer, I've got a large storeroom where I keep supplements right now that I'm going to clean out, and we're going to turn that into an audio video studio.
Very good.
That we'll have cameras so you can actually see us doing the radio show. and we will run those on the internet as vlogs. So you'll be able to not just hear the show and listen to it later. You can actually watch us do it.
There
so you'll get to see Dr. Umat dance and shake
Dr.
her
Mixon
bangles
up there,
and stuff, you know.
And me shaking my head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shave on a Saturday morning, too.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
You got it.
You know, it's like work from home. You can do it in your pajamas without shaving.
That's right.
Well, I have to come to the studio every Saturday, but, I'm usually up at 5. I get up at 5 on Saturdays as well as the rest of the week. So normally I get up at 5, but 5:30, I've already done my shaving and my first set of exercise, and Bendine's got my breakfast ready for me. And then I go out by 6. I'm on the trail in the dark with my headlight running.
There you go. So, that would be Dr. Mixon out there if you happen to be on the trail early in the morning.
And then I'm here by 7:30 or so, ready for the show.
Yes.
Fantastic, Andre. Hey, I am a patient of Longevity Medical and very, very happy with the treatment I'm getting. I'm currently on the senescent cell program, and I do have a history of AFib. And I noticed in reading the literature, it can cause irregular heartbeat. Is that anything to be concerned about?
I wouldn't think so. And the reason I doubt it's an issue is that side effect profile that we give you to read, is drawn from people that are on dasatinib every day of their life for years at a time. Okay. Because dasatinib was originally approved for a form of leukemia. And so the people that have been on dasatinib for 2, 3, 4 years have a much higher side effect profile than the people we put it on for 3 days.
Yeah. And I'm 2/3 way through, and I haven't experienced any side effects. It's just something, being a person that occasionally has AFib, you know, it's something that's always in the back of your mind.
Yes, of course. Well, and of course, if we can get your heart to be healthier and heal and repair better, who knows? We might even decrease your episodes. Hope.
Yes.
I got more. Do we have time?
We do, yes.
Stay right there.
We have to go for the break, but we'll be right back, and you have plenty of time left.
Okay, stay there, Brian. And Terry and Daniel, we're going to get to you, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and you stay right there. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. We hope you are doing well on this beautiful fall morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. I'm Lynette, and we are talking with Brian today about AFib and senescent cells and all sorts of things.
So, your first question, the answer was pretty simple. Not likely, but not impossible.
Okay.
And when will we repeat or do this senescent cell treatment again? Within a year, or what's the recommendation for that?
Well, you know, that kind of depends on you. And let me explain the uncertainties in this. There are 15, 16 different senescent cell markers that are chemicals produced by senescent cells that are in our systems, in our bloodstream. And the problem is that every organ produces its own set of markers. So senescent cells in your liver produce a different set of markers than senescent cells in your muscle, which are different from those in your fat, which are different from those in your lung, which are different from those in your brain and your bone and so on. So trying to select which markers we can measure that will be a reliable indicator of what your senescent cell load is has just been an exercise in futility so far. I have probably read 50 different research papers from different labs trying to come up with what blood test can we do that'll tell us what your current senescent load is. And it's not practical to run all of them because you're talking of about, you know, $6,000-$8,000 worth of laboratory testing to run them all, because some of them are done only in research labs. They're not things I can just ask LabCorp or Quest to run for me. The only reliable way right now to measure the amount of senescent cells in any given tissue is staining, but for that we actually have to biopsy that tissue. So we'd biopsy your muscle, we'd biopsy your fat, or we'd biopsy your liver and stain it so we can actually see the senescent cells, because they show up under differential staining. But we don't have a good blood test, and it's just driving everybody in this whole field crazy, because we're stuck just going by how the patient is doing, you know? And so what many people end up doing is we see how you respond to this first 3 weeks worth of therapy. And so measure your exercise tolerance, measure your, you know, your blood pressures and stuff, measure your muscle mass, see how you're doing clinically. And then if you start to slump, then we'd go back and do probably an abbreviated, only instead of 9 days of therapy, maybe we do 2 3-day courses, or even only 1 3-day course. You know, we'd probably only do the full 9 days once or twice a year. And then maybe in between that 6 months to a year, every other month, every 6 or 8 weeks, we might just do 3 to 6 days worth of treatment.
What are the consequences if you ever do it?
Well, again, we've never actually identified any.
Yeah.
We don't know that it would do you any harm, but remember the above all, primum non nocere.
That's right.
First, do no harm. And so we don't want to drive your load too low, because there's the theoretical concern. If we drove your senescent cell too low and you had a cancer we didn't know about, that cancer might grow faster along with your healthy tissues.
Yeah.
See, young people have much lower senescent cell load than old people, and they have the lowest cancer rate. That's the good news. So we know that senescent cells trigger cancer growth, but we also know that if we drove it too low, we might promote the growth of a pre-existing tumor we didn't know about. So I've picked this 9 days because that takes you down theoretically about 70%. Doesn't take you anywhere near zero. So you still got about 30% of whatever it is you started with. And most old folks start off with 10 or 20 times as much as a young person. So dropping you by 70% still leaves you more than you had at 20.
That's right, yeah.
So I've just kind of arbitrarily picked that as a safe margin.
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay. Hey, one last quick question on there. My doctor wants to increase my sodium level. My sodium is testing at 135, and I'm concerned about increasing the sodium level in my body to affect my blood pressure. Is there anything to be concerned about a sodium level being down at the bottom there at 135?
You're right down at the lower edge, but you're not really in a scary spot.
What are the signs of low sodium?
Well, usually you start getting edema, fluid retention. And I've, in my 48 years of medical practice, I've had three women in the intensive care unit with brain swelling that came damn near killing them because they drank so much water, they washed out all their sodium. And those profoundly low sodium resulted in cerebral edema. Which can be fatal.
So you can drink too much water.
You can drink too much water. And that was driven home about 5 or 6 years ago in Los Angeles. One of the radio stations had a contest in a hot summer spell. And they said, let's see who can drink the most water in the shortest amount of time.
Wow.
And so they held this radio contest live on the air. And a lady died.
Wow.
She actually collapsed and died of cerebral edema from water overdose.
Too much water. Wow.
Yeah. And boy, did the radio station get sued over that one.
Oh, I bet.
And you know, it's funny, the supplement the doctor recommended, LMNT, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's equivalent to drinking ocean water. I mean, it is, you know, it's got 1,000 milligrams of salt in it. So, you know, I've got my blood pressure well under control, and I just want to, you know, have that as one of my number one priorities. So should I not be that concerned then about 135 for the sodium level?
I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. I mean, watch it. I don't want to see it drop into the 120s, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But, you know, but so keep an eye on it. But, you know, when we look at these normal values, these are normative values for a large population of people. What we do is we run sodiums on 10,000 people, and we find the statistical mean. And then we go two standard deviations from the mean, which by definition encompasses 95.6% of the population. We arbitrarily define the top 2.2 percentile as abnormally high, and the bottom 2.2 percentile are abnormally low. But that's not based on physiology. That's based on a mathematical calculation of a large population. The good Lord did not make us all exactly the same. And some people run relatively low sodiums all the time and never get sick and do just fine with it.
Because when I look at my diet, I'm surprised it's low because I eat a lot of things that are medium to high in sodium, but it's...
And that just may be the way your kidneys and aldosterone, the renin angiotensin system in your particular body is designed.
Yeah. Hey, I will let you go, but I just want to thank you. Your clinic is just amazing. It is just phenomenal, the program you have and what they're doing. So I'll let you go. Thank you. Thank you so much for your personal time today. Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye now.
All right, we're going to take another call, get the question, take a break, and be right back. Shelton, we have Terry from Shelton calling in with a question. Hi there, Terry, let's get your question.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, I have breast cancer, and so I contacted the Glacier Clinic about my breast cancer, which they're going to do a blood test on it. So can you explain to me what they do there?
Okay, that's a good question.
It is a good question, and yes, I'll chat a little, what little I know about it when we get back from this break.
Yes, we're headed to a break. Terry, you hang on the line, and Daniel, we'll get to you as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Don't tell my heart, my aching-breaking heart, I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my aching-breaking heart, he might blow up and kill this man.
And we're back. No achy-breaky hearts here. Just Lynette and Dr. Jerry Mixon. A few minutes left of our show. We've got Terry on the line, and Daniel will get to you in just a moment, so stay close. All right, Terry.
Now, is this the Rebecca Glazer's clinic that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, Rebecca Glazer, I think, is the most cutting-edge breast cancer surgeon in the country. She has published enormous number of papers on, you know, hormone manipulation with breast cancer and use of testosterone in conjunction with hormone ablation that just kind of boggle my mind.
Okay.
Her numbers, I mean, I don't know what she's going to do with you in particular, obviously, because you're an individual case, right. And she's, you know, she's the expert. Right. But I got to tell you, if my wife came down with breast cancer, I'd have her right where you're going. She's who I'd have see. Yeah. I look at her published papers, and I send copies of Dr. Glazer's papers to every one of my doctors and say, guys, read this paper. This is the woman you ought to be paying attention to. So can you give me a little bit of background where your situation is? We've only got a few minutes, but I...
Okay. Well, yeah, I just have it on one left breast, and it's a microinvasion lobular carcinoma.
Okay.
And it has a tubular formation of, that says 3 of 3, whatever that means. Nuclear, 1 of 3. Myelotic, 1 of 3. Nothing else. That's all. Those
so microinvasion means it is not just staying in the duct, it's actually invading the duct a bit. That's the bad news.
Right.
You know, and the lobar cancers tend to be the nastier group. So can you tell how big was it? What is the staging on it? Did they say this is
a score 5 of 9?
5 out of 9. Okay. So yeah. So you're not down in the very low, but you're not in the nasty ones that look like they're going to, you know, spread quickly and give you grief. So
I did just have an MRI on Friday, and they said they said the MRI was just identical to whatever it said on my report.
Good. Okay. So the MRI didn't give us any new information. It didn't say, okay, we've got some nasty ones hiding over here or over there.
Yeah.
This is all good news. Okay. I mean, typically, by the time we find a cancer of this sort, it's actually been there 3 to 5 years. That's the thing people don't realize. When you get diagnosed, doesn't mean you just caught it. It started as one cell, and it has slowly grown over the years till we found it now. So Dr. Glazer is, I trust her implicitly. Whatever she says to do, by God's sake, do. But let me give you some other stuff that is a little bit out of her bailiwick, okay? One thing I really want you to do right now, if you haven't already started it, is get yourself on an aggressive exercise program.
I have done that. Absolutely.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
And for the rest of the listening audience, here's why I tell her this. When a woman finds a new breast cancer, it means she's probably had it for about 5 years. If we then put a woman on an aggressive exercise program, even 5 years into her cancer, we increase her survival by 61%. Increase survival by 60% just from exercise. If we had a drug that increased survival from breast cancer by 60%, every doctor would be writing it. And yet...
Yeah.
very few physicians are pushing people to get off their butt and go run.
I did. I got a very good treadmill and I'm on it.
Good for you. All right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I want you doing every single day of your life, do as much as you can do without pain, because that cuts your risk of dying from your cancer almost in half.
Okay. Great. So, and what about if I don't go with her, what do you think of proton therapy?
Proton therapy has some great advantages for a localized tumor. If we know exactly where the tumor is, as opposed to regular radiation therapy, protons, they come in and they are absorbed right where you aim them. And it allows you to limit the radiation damage to a very discrete small area. So you don't end up burning lung and getting lots of radiation damage. So I really like proton therapy, and I'm so grateful that more and more decent-sized cities now are able to do it. You know, when they started proton therapy 10 or 15 years ago, there were only three or four places in the country you could get it done. And now we can do it here in Seattle, and just about anywhere there's a major city, there's proton therapy available.
Wow.
So I think it's the next big thing for radiation therapy of tumors.
Okay, great. Okay. But you think just go with what Dr. Glaser says.
Dr. Glaser is going to give you good, she's going to give you great advice. Right. She may treat you herself, or she may just write a report and send it to your local physician so that you can get your care locally. But I take her word as gospel, okay?
Okay. And so I could ask Dr. Jimenez in Tacoma, would she have any information that she would have?
Well, she's got all the papers that she's published, but you know, whatever Dr. Glaser, if you give Dr. Jimenez's name to Dr. Glaser, then Dr. Glaser will send the reports to Dr. Jimenez for you.
Hmm. Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the call,
Terry. Thank you for the call, Terry. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Bye-bye, dear.
Very much. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. Time for one more call. Daniel in Bellevue has a question. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for waiting. Oops, we don't have
Daniel dropped.
Okay, so he wanted to talk about peptides.
Which peptide?
Oh, he didn't say. Daniel, if you're there and you want to call us back quickly, we can take your call and your question about peptides.
Well, let me just address that. There is a lot of whoop-de-doo about peptide therapies right now.
Okay.
And they're being addressed everything from skin care to cancer to aging to brain function, etc. The problem is that most of the peptides that are being promoted are not approved by the FDA for anything.
Wow.
Okay. One of the peptides that is approved is this somorolin or semorelin, and we do prescribe that to enhance your own growth hormone production. That one is approved, but the many of these peptides, we go to meetings and the peptide enthusiasts are saying you should be writing this for your patients and that for your patients. The problem is doctors are allowed to write things off label. That means that if the FDA has approved it for one thing, we can use it for other things once it's been approved for something. But most of these peptides have never been approved for anything. And they may or may not work, but the doctors that write them are putting their license in jeopardy because they're writing prescriptions for unapproved drugs. And both the feds and the local medical board can come down on them. So many of my physicians have come back from meetings saying, wow, they told me about this peptide and that peptide and this and that. And then I look them up and I say, yeah, but there's no approvals of any of them from the FDA.
Wow.
And until they get an approval, and so you can legally use it off-label, please don't, because I don't want the legal expenses of fighting for you in court.
Yes. Okay, so that's maybe that information will help Daniel. Yeah, I've seen him in ads for makeup and different things for skincare. Yeah. And I know that we use one of them, and that's the
Somorolin.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was approved by the FDA, 40 years ago.
Okay, so that's a good one.
Yeah, but
I'm thinking Daniel's probably not talking about that one.
Well, he may be. He may be.
Okay.
I have no idea.
We don't know. Sorry about that, Daniel. Be one of the first ones to call us next time, and we will get your question
find
answered.
Find out which peptide you're concerned about.
Okay. Just a bit of time left on the show. Of course, as always, love it when you call in, especially our longevity patients, to let us know how they're doing, and it's always so positive. I love it. They'll say, it's been 2 years or 10, or I've been with you
for
since the
years.
Beginning.
Yeah.
Yes, and we love that. And if you're not a patient yet of longevity, would love to have you come in and give us a test drive. We have that free health analysis appointment. You can come in to any of our clinics, Linwood, Kirkland, Tacoma, and might I say our Kirkland office and facilities, the brand new. Oh, it's looking better and better every day.
It's quite lovely. And,
yes.
The doctors love being in it.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because it's much bigger and brighter and more cheerful.
Uh-huh.
We just need to get the desks and stuff in.
There we go. Oh, those, yes. But you can still make an appointment and come on in. We are still working here in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. To get your free health analysis appointment, simply give us a call at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com and make your appointment there. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I will be gone next week. I'm headed to Italy.
Enjoy it.
I will. Mark Holland
don't
will be
too
here.
Much pasta.
I will. No, no.
Right.
Maybe just a little pizza. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time right here on Leading Edge Medicine.